The lesson today is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary. What cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
One day, a few weeks ago, at preschool pickup, I was talking with one of our preschool dads named Mose. I was talking about the new Be the Hope sign that we have in our courtyard. I was telling him how cool it is because it lights up at night and there's like all these different colors. It goes from red into green into blue and then back. And Mose said to me, he said, "Oh, let me tell you a story about that sign." See, one morning he was getting his two preschoolers ready for preschool. And they were just having a morning. Every part of the morning routine was like pulling teeth. From breakfast, to getting dressed, to getting the knapsack together, everything was a struggle. And Mo said he just kept getting more and more frustrated and stressed, and they were running later and later and later. And finally, after a long morning at home, they finally got into the car, and they headed to school. And they headed into Santa Monica, and as you can imagine, they hit traffic. So he's sitting there in traffic, and he's just stewing. When all of a sudden, from the back seat, totally unprompted, his son Jack said to him, "Dad, just be the hope." In that precious moment, it all just melted away. All of it. It was a moment of connection between a father and a son. And all that had been building up and stewing, all the frustration, the stress, the minutiae of the day-to-day that hadn't gone exactly to plan, all of that just gone in an instant. Those words of love, words of grace spoken by a child broke down all of the stuff that all of us could get so easily wrapped up in. It's no wonder, right, that Jesus says to us, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Dad, just be the hope. I can remember clearly just over 10 years ago coming onto our campus for the very first time. I was coming here for a job conversation with Reverend Patricia. And I use that word conversation intentionally because I didn't realize at the time that it was a job interview. So I showed up and my hair was kind of messy. I was wearing a button-down shirt, thank God, but it was untucked. And I was wearing jeans, which I'm pretty sure had a hole in them. Nevertheless, I walked onto this campus and into our courtyard, and I looked up at the mezzanine, and I saw that old Be the Hope banner, the dark blue one, the bright white letters. And I read it, Be the Hope, and I thought to myself in that moment, I wonder what this means to this congregation. I wonder what it means to this beloved community. I had no idea. I had no idea what God was getting me into. I had no idea how many baptisms we would celebrate together, infants, children, teenagers, and even some adults, even up to this very day, where we celebrate and we give God thanks for the gift of God's overflowing and abundant love for Amelia Rose. We welcome her into this family of faith that we call the church. Amelia Rose, you will be blessed by this loving community of faithful people. They will walk with you as you grow in God's love and as you learn to love others. And one day soon, you too, Amelia, will participate in the baptism of another person. And you will renew your baptismal vows along with the rest of this beloved community, as together you all will experience the power of God's sanctifying grace. God's sanctifying grace, that love of God that keeps us on the path of love, following in the way of Jesus. That grace of God, that love of God that binds us to one another, despite all of our shortcomings, despite all of our challenges, despite the minutiae of life that weighs us down or dampers our hope. The love of God in our baptism, which names us and claims us all and calls us by our name, beloved child of the Most High God. I had no idea. I had no idea how many service project trips I would lead, how many I would participate in. No idea how this congregation would, inspired by Jesus' call to serve the poor, would rally together and empower and equip and send teams of youth and adults all across this nation and around this world. From putting up insulation in a double-wide trailer in the mountains of Tennessee to installing a new kitchen floor for a homeowner in Slidell, Louisiana, to organizing bucket lines of sand and gravel as we built a clinic in Sobier, Haiti, to playing hide-and-go-seek with a group of Native American kids in Klamath, Oregon. I've seen and I've witnessed the presence of Jesus, the presence of unconditional love through all who have given themselves in loving service on this journey of discipleship. And by God's grace, we have made a difference in this world. We have. People in Haiti have access to medical care for the first time in their life. Families in Appalachia have a warm, dry, and safe house. There's a congregation in New Orleans that finished worshiping this morning in a sanctuary that we helped to build. But we've also come to know and to humbly recognize that it's not up to us alone as an individual or even as a single congregation, but it's what God does through all of us, the body of Christ, throughout this entire world. I had no idea. I had no idea how many saints of the church we would commend to God's everlasting care, how many memorial services and funerals we would walk through together. These moments in the life of our community where we just come together and sit with each other in the midst of the pain and the mourning without trying to make it all right or better or try and fix it, resisting that urge to say something to just ease the pain or ease the burden. I've witnessed the depths of your Christian love and care for one another. I've witnessed the power of prayer and the power of a homemade casserole delivered to a family who just doesn't have the strength to cook for themselves. Friends, I've seen you. I've seen you walk with each other through the valley of the shadow of death, carrying that belief that nothing can or will ever separate us from God's great love in Jesus Christ, nothing in life or in death. And you've carried that for one another when the other just couldn't carry it on their own. I had no idea how many times we would gather around this table right here, this table of God's abundant life-giving love, and we would celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. How many times we would pray together that God would pour out God's Holy Spirit on all of us who are gathered here, making us one with Christ and with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. I had no idea how many times I would receive the precious gift of serving communion to our children who come up each month to receive the bread and the cup. You know, they get it in a way that most of us adults don't, right? I remember one special morning I was giving the cup of the new covenant to one of our little ones, and I said, as you drink this juice, remember that God loves you so much. And she said, with all the confidence in the world, oh, I know. I had no idea how many bounce houses and barbecues and summer fests and fall festivals and cake walks. I had no idea that there would be a dunk tank for the associate pastors. Notice how I said associate pastors. There are some perks, Patricia, to being the senior pastor. I didn't know how much fun we would have together, the laughter and the joy that we would share. Just being together, bound to one another, for no reason in the world except for Jesus. That's the only reason that we're here today as a community. It's because of Jesus. Why else would we gather if not for Jesus? I just had no idea. I wonder if the early church had any idea what they were getting themselves into when they joined this movement of God's love in the world. I was thinking about the Corinthians, that small group of Christians living in that town called Corinth all those generations ago. I wondered if they had any kind of inkling of what was to come, or if they knew that their story, the story of their community, would become part of our sacred texts and serve as an inspiration and a challenge for Christians generation upon generation upon generation. Just think about it. Think about all the folks throughout the years who've heard a sermon preached on this passage, or participated in a Bible study on this passage, or read this passage as part of their daily devotional. I'm fairly certain that the early Corinthians, they had no idea what they were walking into. They had no idea that their story, no matter how flawed and broken and totally human, that it would make such a big difference in this world. Because, make no mistake about it, the story of the Corinthian church is a story of every church. It was populated with ordinary, everyday kind of people, beautiful, flawed people who had strayed from following in the way of Jesus, the way of love and acceptance and inclusion and forgiveness. See, the Corinthian church was a church that was divided. And it was divided around egos and personalities. One preacher I heard recently put it this way. He said the Corinthian community was fractured because everybody was following their own super apostle. See, the Corinthians were putting their faith and their hope in the wrong thing. They were trusting a little bit too much in all the charismatic personalities that had emerged from among them, And some folks were following one personality, and others folks were following another personality, and yet others were following yet another. And they lost sight of the thing that tied them all together to begin with: God's love in Jesus Christ. They lost sight of that. And so Paul, who was a leader in the early Christian church, was writing a letter to the Corinthians to remind them of why they got together in the first place. He wrote to remind them that they are called to follow in the way of Jesus, to grow in the love of Jesus, to be grounded and rooted in Jesus first and always. First and always. Despite all of the fancy, articulate, charismatic preachers that come and go and come and go and come and go. And Paul urges the Corinthians to believe that Christian principles matter more than personalities. And so he wrote, "We believe and so we speak, because we know that God, who raised our Lord Jesus Christ, will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into Jesus' presence. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. God will raise us up with Jesus into the presence of pure, unconditional, whole-making love. So don't ever lose heart. Stick with it, no matter what. Because this journey of life, it's a journey that has twists and turns. It has endings and new beginnings. There are some times in this journey where you find yourself in places where you feel like you just want to stew in the hot mess of frustration and anger and stress, and maybe even a little bit of despair. Sometimes in this life, you feel like you just want to give up or give in because it just feels too big for you. Sometimes it takes that voice which speaks to us softly, from the inside or from the out, that says, don't lose heart. Just be the hope. As a community, we're going to experience some transition in the days and weeks to come. I thought I would leave you with a few of my hopes. Take them or leave them. It's up to y'all. You have in the past, so you know, why start anything new now? I really hope that you all will keep trying new things. You'll keep stretching yourselves to create new spaces for new people to come and to experience the richness of life done together in Christian community. Keep doing new things even when it's hard or when it feels like there's just not enough. Actually, do more new things during those seasons. Because this gospel that we have, this good news of God's life-saving love in Jesus, is exactly what this world needs. So along those lines, as a community, but also as individual disciples, don't be afraid of failure. Go ahead and fail. Fail big sometimes. Remember that Mother Teresa once said to us and reminds us that God doesn't call us to be successful. God just calls us to be faithful. We don't have to judge ourselves by the world's standards, just by God's. Lastly, love one another and your next pastor and leaders the way that you have loved me. The depth of the love that you've shown to me and my family is just astounding. I've cherished the times that we've shared together. You've forgiven me when I've made mistakes, and I've made a few, just a few. You welcome me into your homes, into your families, into some of the most holy and sacred and intimate moments of your lives. and you've shared yourselves with me freely and openly. You've trusted me and you allowed me to be your pastor. You even laughed at my really bad jokes from time to time, which I'm really grateful for. My life as a pastor, but more importantly, my life as a Christian, has been made so rich in love by you, by each and every one of you. And that love that you shared with me is just too good for me not to share with someone else. So embrace your next pastor the way that you have embraced me. As I transition into this next phase of life and ministry with my family, I thought about these words from Paul in his letter to the Philippian church as he wrote, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. Because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now, I am so confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, beloved in Christ, be the hope. Amen.